This is John from the freegiftfromgod.com podcast. Today I'm talking about the fruits of the Spirit. That's the topic for today. We're still looking at this salvation road in terms of walking as Jesus walked. And our objectives today are to learn what the fruits of the Spirit are, to understand why they are important. So in overview, this session we will identify what the fruits of the Spirit are, and we'll look at the many scriptures that teach us about the many aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. As part of our walk with Christ, we see that it is essential that we bear the fruits of the Spirit. Indeed, without these fruits, a person will be cut off and discarded, just as a fruit tree that does not bear fruit is uprooted and removed. So we will not be looking at the individual fruits of the Spirit this time. However, this will comprise a future study after the Salvation Road series is completed. We'll look at what each of the individual fruits are, and we'll go into some detail. Today's session, we just want to go over in overview what the fruits of the Spirit are. So I'd like to begin in the book of Luke, chapter 13, and I'm reading from verses 6 to 9. And he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Lo, these 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And he answered him, "Let it alone, sir, this year also, till I dig about it and put manure on. And if it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." Now, if we are to enter the kingdom of God, we must begin to show evidence of the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. The process of walking with Christ is to learn his ways, and through our walk, to learn the fruits of the Spirit and how to apply them in our lives. To show just how important this is, we see in this verse that where there is no fruit, i.e. a person is like this fig tree, they will be rooted up, cut down and thrown away. A person who does not exhibit the fruits of the Spirit is next to worthless, and we see why when we understand what those fruits are. But God is not so uncaring as to do this at the first sign of a problem. As in this story, he will ensure we get the teaching, the knowledge and the information, as well as the help of the Holy Spirit, before such a drastic decision is made. Just like the fig tree, every chance is given before that final step is taken. The next scripture is over in Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 to 37. And it says this, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. The good man, out of his good treasure, brings forth good, and the evil man, out of his evil treasure, brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will render account for every careless word they utter, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Now we get an inkling of the fruit of the Spirit here in this verse. We see that it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. This is where the fruit of the Spirit abides. It's in a person's heart. It's in their inner being. And as the scripture says, a good person will bring forth good fruit. That is, fruit that's beneficial to the Lord, that builds up themselves and also builds up others. But a bad person brings forth only bad fruit because their heart is not a heart of the Holy Spirit. They only sow dissension and trouble and jealousy and envy and the like. And we see that those kinds of people are just in it for themselves. It's a selfishness. And finally, we see that we will be judged by what we say, and by every careless word that we utter will be brought to account. So it's important that we get these things right. In Luke chapter 3, verses 7 to 9, we read this. He said, therefore, to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits that befit repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." Now, the essence of the fruit of the Spirit is similar to this. The fruit of the Lord and the Spirit is to bear fruits that are befitting to one who has repented. When we come to Christ, we come to Christ in repentance, but we then need to follow on from that repentance. To repent is literally to change your thinking. When we change the way that we think and focus on the Spirit and the things of the Spirit rather than the things of the flesh, then we're in a place that will bear good fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of repentance rather than the bad fruit of a mind that is unwilling to change. And again, we see here that those who are unwilling to change and repent of the old ways of sin and evil will be cut down and thrown away. So bearing the right fruit, the fruit of repentance, the fruits of the Spirit, is very, very important for every Christian. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 26, we find these words. Now the works of the flesh are plain: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, selfishness, dissension, party spirit, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you as I warned you before, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us have no self-conceit, no provoking of one another, no envy of one another. This scripture gives us the contrast between the fruit of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit. First, we should understand is that fruit is the output of a tree or a plant. If a tree is sound, it will produce good fruit. So too, the fruits of the flesh or of the Spirit are the outputs of the person and show who and what that person is. The fruits of the Spirit are good, and they nourish a person to grow. They help others, they glorify God. But the bad fruits of the flesh destroy and tear down people. They are destructive and of no value to anyone. We must shun the evil works of the flesh and seek to grow in the fruits of the Spirit. Now, before I go any further, you might hear a bit of background noise in this session today, because I'm actually recording outdoors. I'm in the bush and it's quite windy, and I'm by the river, and there's the occasional boat goes up and down. So if there's a bit of background noise, I apologise for that. But the next scripture I want to look at is in Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 to 23. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is he who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the delight in riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is he who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The parable of the sower is well known, as too is the interpretation of the parable. It describes four different types of people and how they are affected by the sown seed of the word of God. Only the last of these people actually bear fruit for the Lord. All the others never get the chance to bear fruit because either it's taken away by the devil before they're able, they find it too hard and cannot stand up to the tribulation and stresses and persecution, or the cares of this life, good and bad, choke the growth of the fruit. But for those who receive and who hear and do the word of God, the fruit blossoms and they grow, bringing forth more fruit. This is the fruit of the Spirit and the hope of God, that we will receive him and grow to maturity in Jesus Christ. In John chapter 15, verses 1 to 8, we read this. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch of mine that bears no fruit he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already made clean by the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me you can do nothing. If a man does not abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Bearing fruit is essential, and again we see here that those who bear no fruit are removed. After all, why should they potentially get in the way of those who will and do bear fruit to potentially tear them down? But when we do begin to bear fruit, like a tree, we must expect times of pruning. There will be times when the Lord will work on us to cut back and remove the dead wood so that we can bear more fruit. Sometimes this may be painful for us, but it's always necessary. And it's only by staying with and walking with Jesus that we can ever bear fruit. Without Christ, it is not possible to bear fruit, but with him, there is no limit to what is possible. In Romans chapter 8, verses 23 to 27, we find this. Not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Now, there may be times of suffering ahead for those who are going to be with the Lord. It's expected, and this is why we may groan inwardly as we go through the trials and tribulations of this life. It's all for our discipline, and it gives us hope. But the Lord has not left us without help. The Holy Spirit helps us to overcome the problems of this life so that we can be strong. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us to God so that we can bear the fruit of the Spirit as we grow and learn. And as we saw in the last scripture, it's important that we abide in Christ, because without him we can do nothing. But with him, then we can receive the blessings of the Lord. In Romans chapter 7, verses 1 to 6, we read this. Do you not know, brethren, for I'm speaking to those who know the law, that the law is binding on a person only during his life? Thus a married woman is bound by law to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is discharged from the law concerning the husband. Accordingly, she will be called an adulteress if she lives with another man while her husband is alive. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law. And if she marries another man, she is not an adulteress. Likewise, my brethren, you have died to the law through the body of Christ, so that you may belong to another, to him who has been raised from the dead, in order that we may bear fruit for God. While we were living in the flesh, our sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit for death. But now we are discharged from the law, dead to that which held us captive, so that we serve not under the old written code, but in the new life of the Spirit. One of the great mysteries of the new covenant, and one that's not easily understood in most of the church, is the purpose and reason for setting us free from the law. We are set free, and we have been set free from all of the laws and commandments under the old covenant. The reason for this is so that we could serve God, not from a place of compliance and punishment, but from the place of love and grace. We are set free from the law so that we can serve God by choice. And the reason we have been set free from the law, as this scripture advises us, is so that we can bear fruit for God. While we're under the law, we are condemned by the law, and as such, we are bearing the fruits of condemnation. But when we are set free from the law, with our sins removed, God has established a place for us through grace where we can grow in Jesus Christ and bear the fruits of righteousness. And the fruits of righteousness are the fruits of the Spirit. The next scripture is in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 9 to 11. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time at their pleasure, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. Later, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. In one of the previous scriptures, we saw that God prunes those branches to be kept so that they bear more fruit. Discipline is one of those pruning processes. We are disciplined by the Lord so that we can learn to be disciplined. Discipline is not about punishment, it's about control. We need to learn how to control the passions and desires of the flesh, because the flesh does not bear fruit for life but for death. However, when we learn discipline, we do bear the fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit comes through control. To follow the passions and lusts and desires of the flesh is to be out of control. But through the discipline of the Lord, we learn how to control those things and thus bear the fruits of peace, righteousness, love, joy, and so on. The last scripture I'm looking at now is in James chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good life, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This wisdom is not such as comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, without uncertainty or insincerity, and the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So finally, when it comes to the fruits of the Spirit, we see that this comes through the wisdom of God. As we are disciplined and as we continue our walk with Christ, we learn the wisdom of God with all of the things that come through God's wisdom. And like fruits of the field, we bear the fruit and then harvest the outcomes of those fruits. The harvest we receive is righteousness, and its ultimate goal is life with Jesus Christ. To bear the fruits of the Spirit is essential if we are to live with Christ and the rest of those who are made worthy to live in the kingdom of God. So here's a couple of questions for you to think about. Are you actively seeking to learn the things that will lead to bearing the fruits of the Spirit? Secondly, do you understand that failing to bear the fruits of the Spirit may mean exclusion from the kingdom of God? Now, a couple of things to do. Take some time to read the fruits of the Spirit verses in Galatians chapter 6 and understand what they are. Secondly, look at the works of the flesh also in Galatians chapter 6, and if you suffer from any of these, seek how you can overcome them. And third, learn the processes of walking in the Spirit so that you can overcome the works of the flesh and replace them with the fruits of the Spirit. And if you want to know more about walking in the Spirit, I have spoken about this on previous podcasts. I've also written quite a lot about this on my website at freegiftfromgod.com. So if you go to the blog there, it opens up at the blog, and you just put a search in for walking in the Spirit, you should be able to find lots and lots of information about it. Finally, a prayer point. Spend a few moments in prayer now to recognise the importance of the fruits of the Spirit and to ask God for the wisdom to see and learn how you can exhibit these fruits in your daily life. In the next session, we're going to extend the things that underpin the fruits of the Spirit as we look specifically at the love of God. So this is John from the freegiftfromgod.com podcast signing off and wishing you the best for the coming week, and may the Lord be with you in all things. God bless.